This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
At this time, we're going to give each candidate 3 minutes to introduce themselves and talk about their experience and qualifications within the introduction. And we will start with Avery Boring. Avery, good evening.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. And thank you for the chamber for hosting this and allowing voters to hear directly from us. Because as you've heard, this election is so crucial both for our county and for our state. The decisions that are going to be made are going to impact generations to come. And so that's why it's so crucial we have the opportunity to hear on the issues in front of groups like this. You know, I've spoken with a lot of you. You know that my family chose generations ago to come to Illinois because they offered them the opportunity to succeed if they worked hard through farming. But it was never promised, actually, that my family would continue to have the farm that they do today. In the 80s, my grandpa was in a farming accident and became paralyzed from the waist down. And doctors told him, you probably won't ever farm again. But through sacrifice, hard work, tough decisions, my family, not only did my grandpa farm again, my family was able to pass on to the next generation the farm better than when they got it. And that's what we're going to have to do in Illinois. You know, for years, generations, families have worked in Illinois to pass on to the next generation a life better than what they had. And right now, that's become impossible for a lot of families because of a government that is broken and because of a system that is not leaving a state that's better for the next generation than what we have. And that's what we need. You know, if we keep sending the same kind of politicians to Springfield, we're going to get the same tired, ineffective, short-sighted policies that have broken our state for years. So we need a new generation of leadership that's going to step up. That's why I've worked really hard to make sure that our schools are fully funded. We have the worst funded schools in the nation. I'm on two bipartisan commissions to make sure that we can have every student in this state having an opportunity to succeed. We need to grow jobs in the economy. That's been a central theme all night. Until Illinois is growing, we are never going to get out of this mess. But lastly, we have to clean up government. We need to pass term limits. We need redistricting reform. We need to make Illinois a state that we can be proud to say that we're from. And that's why I'm running, because we need to work to make this a state that we're all proud to call home, and that 40 years from now we can look back and know that we made that crucial decision this election to send folks to Springfield to do that. So thank you again, and I look forward to the questions.
Mr. Mike Mathis. Michael.
Well, I'd like to thank the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce for this opportunity. I'd like to thank Terry Tote for taking time out to moderate it. And I want to thank all of you that are attending here tonight. And I think that speaks a lot for you, because this is just like Government 101. So for right off the bat, I want you to give yourselves a nice round of applause for being here and sticking here for so long for us. Truthfully. I appreciate that. I've been a coal miner, a job counselor, and a small business owner. I've served my country in Vietnam. I served my community as a small town mayor and alderman. When you serve in a small town, you learn things. You learn about dedication. You learn about hard work. And you learn that you need to make your community the best it can be. That's where we live. That's who we are. We need to do better in the state of Illinois. We need to take that same kind of attitude up there. You know, you have to make the hard votes up there. You can't miss votes. It's important. That's what you're sent there for. That's what makes good government, good decisions, and being able to discern what those are and aren't. That's what I'll take to the state of Illinois. That's what I'll be as your state representative, a hard worker that brings the values of the small towns up to Springfield. I'll represent each and every one of you, and I will tell you right now, I'll take the hard votes. I'll take them. I'm going to discuss them tonight, and I will take them. You have my promise on that, because that's what you send us to do up there, and that's what I'll do as your state representative.
All right. On to the questions, and we will start with Representative Bourne. How specifically would you deal with the financial crisis facing the state?
So it's not a surprise that for years and years and years, politicians have passed budgets in Illinois that are unbalanced. They spend more than they take in. And then they say that they want to raise taxes to get them out of it. But when they raised taxes 6 years ago, They spent every penny we sent up there extra, and then they're still asking for more. So to raise taxes is not the way to do it before we rein in the culture of spending that's in Springfield. So that's why I have not only worked with both parties, and we actually have a group called the Future Caucus, which is younger legislators from both parties, who've said we are going to have to think about government differently. We need to start like we would in your household. How much are we bringing in? And then how much can we spend? Zero-based budgeting. It's what we all do when we look at our paycheck and decide how much we can spend in our household. But also, I've been the chief co-sponsor for No Budget, No Pay. So we've seen sides in Springfield that are entrenched and aren't talking to each other. If they weren't getting a paycheck, I guarantee that would happen faster. So No Budget, No Pay says if there is no certifiably balanced budget, then politicians don't get paid. And it forces the legislature back to Springfield to pass a budget that's balanced. And so it's been years and years of overspending, and this culture of spending has to stop. We need folks in Springfield who are willing to take the hard vote against a $7 billion out-of-balance budget. But it also requires sending people to Springfield who are going to work across the aisle for really common-sense solutions and creative solutions to this problem so that 40 years down the road, my grandchildren aren't paying the taxes on this. So that's how I've been in Springfield. I think that's what we need to continue, is just this common sense approach towards reining in our spending and living within our means.
Mike?
Sure. Well, let's talk about the budget. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I am never going to support any taxes on middle-class families. They're struggling enough. That can happen. So that's off the equation as far as I'm concerned. I don't see raising sales tax either to help the budget out. I think there's a lot of things we can do. First of all, let's cut unnecessary programs that they stick in the budget year after year. Things like, and I've mentioned this many times before, planting trees at intersections. It costs them $90,000 in the middle of summer when they die. They're dying out. And I don't know why you'd want, where you have wrecks and intersections, why you'd want a tree there to defend it. It just doesn't make sense. We have to take a stand. We have to pick a path on the way we're going. The way these budgets are done, I think a lot of times they're done real fast. But one thing I've heard walking throughout this district is, why didn't someone stand up and say, let's stay there and get a budget done? The stopgap, which was passed, and I believe that Representative Bourne voted for that stopgap budget, is still going to get us $8 billion in debt. It's no better than what Mike Madigan said. So we have to work together. I agree with that. It's got to be bipartisan. I've done that all my life. I did that with the Mayor's Association that was made up of Democrats and Republicans. We worked together. We shared ideas. We shared equipment. We shared ordinances for the betterment of everybody. And we did that as Democrats and Republicans. I think we can do that, the same thing up at the state capitol. I do. I've already reached out to several representatives on the other side that believe the same way I do, that it's leadership causing the problems up there, not the individuals. And that's what we have to look at. You know, people talk about term limits for people running for office. I think there should be term limits for leadership posts. Thank you.
On to our second question, and Mike, we'll start with you on this one. In the past few years, Illinois has lost many quality jobs to neighboring states due to high taxes and fees. What is your plan to bring jobs and businesses back to the state?
Well, there's a lot of things that we can do, Terry. First of all, let's get into why do businesses come here? They want it to be business friendly. That's one thing. But they also want to have a good workforce. One of the proposals that I've made from the very start was investing in industrial arts programs for our students at the high school level. I think that we can turn around what could be the future of these young people. If they're going to go on to work, then they can learn something like welding, automotive, drafting, a number of things. If they're going on to college, they can learn those same things and have a job that they can actually earn money while they're going to school. So bringing back that type of education to our students, I think, is an imperative thing to do. I also think that we have to make the climate, business climate, better. And we do that in a number of ways. by removing restrictions on small businesses. I was a small businessman. I worked in a small business for over 8 years. It's tough work. You have to work long hours. You're your own boss. And if we realize that small business is the way to go, if we can help them, then we can create jobs at that level, then other businesses are going to move here. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the water. We just have to have the skilled labor, and we can start that at the local level. And I think that'll help bring and entice businesses to come in. The other thing is to erase the restrictions on them that they have on businesses and give breaks to anybody that's willing to move here. Use those incentives. But with this provision, if they move out of Illinois, they have to pay those incentives back. They can't just, we've been giving money to businesses that are here for 5 or 6 years, then they leave for somewhere else. We never get that money back. I believe that we should collect that. That's one thing that we can lure them here with those incentives. It's another thing to keep it here if they have to pay it back.
Representative Bourne.
Thank you. I think the first thing we need to do at the state level is give businesses certainty so that they know what the tax rate is going to be, so that they know that we'll have a balanced budget, so that they know that the government that's here now they can count on in the future. But I would say beyond that, I've been proud to work with local governments and economic development groups throughout this district on local projects to help grow businesses here. I also joined a bipartisan downstate coal caucus, a group of Republicans and Democrats from downstate, who said, coal, we have more coal here than Saudi Arabia has oil. Why are we not tapping into that potential? And so we said, let's do a study and see if we can put scrubbers on all of our coal-fired plants so that we can burn Illinois coal here instead of shipping it to China and bringing other coal in. Also, this month is Manufacturing Month. If you look at the number of manufacturers we've lost in Illinois, that used to support our communities. Those were good-paying jobs you could raise a family on, and you were giving back and contributing to the economy. If we got manufacturing jobs back in Montgomery County and Macoupin County and Christian County, we'd be in a much better place as a state. Also, I agree, we need to start in the high school levels. We need to start in the community college levels. Let's train folks for the jobs that are here. We need truck drivers. We need welders. I mean, this is a multi-pronged approach that's going to have to come from the state level. It's going to have to come from the county level and from the local level to support an environment where people want to start businesses. You know, the other day I was talking with a family who actually just moved into Montgomery County from Madison County, and they have a small business in Madison County, and they were talking about how difficult it was to start that up and get it going when they wanted to give back to the community and employ people. So we need to make sure that those burdens are alleviated at all levels so that entrepreneurs who want to start these businesses and have these ideas are able to do it here.
Our next question.
Should I just answer one thing back about the scrubbers, if I may?
You have 1 minute.
Well, there is a plan out there. It's my plan on the mine industry. And it's to bring five entities together. I want the miners, the power company, the mine owners, the companies that make the scrubbers, and the government, Illinois government, to get together in one room and work out a plan where we can lease to own those scrubbers. They're very expensive. If we can get every entity in there to do that, I think we can get the scrubbers put on fairly quickly, and that's going to have them with the provision that they use Illinois coal. And that's going to make mines open up. And that's what we need. That's a fast fix to a problem that we've had for a number of years. And it makes sense. Bring everybody to the table, work together to get those scrubbers in here, and move on with getting the mines opened up.
On to our next question, and we'll start with Representative Bourne. Do you see Illinois' current pension program as problematic? And if so, what is your plan to correct it?
So we talk a lot about the unfunded pension liability that's looming out there, and I think we need to be perfectly clear on why we got here. It's because politicians for years made promises that they were going to fund it, and they didn't. So when we look at the education at TRS individually, if we were paying the normal cost, if every year we were paying what we were supposed to pay, it would only cost 8% of our education budget, which seems pretty reasonable. So if we'd been making payments forever, we'd be on a much better path. But instead, they skipped payments and pushed it down the road and borrowed against it, and it's 25% of our education budget goes into the pension payment because of years and years of kicking the can down the road. and we can't do that any longer. So it's my firm belief a promise is a promise. We have made a promise to these employees, and they deserve to get what they were promised. That's going to mean making tough decisions on the state level. I also think that because of years of mismanagement from the political side, let's not point fingers at the people who worked and earned it. Because of years of mismanagement, I think there will have to be reform, but only for new hires. So it should not be for anybody who's in the current system.
Mr. Mathis,
Terry,
would you like me to repeat the question?
No.
Okay.
I would say this. We talk about their pension. And there was a contract made. And the contract said that we will support the pension proposal that you have, both sides. And I've been on both sides of that. I've been on both sides of that as a circuit clerk, working out a contract with my employees. I've set aside as a coal miner in negotiations. Never once did I walk away from the table. Never once did we get in a heated argument. We just worked together on it. So let's work at the fact of it. The one thing everybody leaves out is that on these union contracts, they gave up something for that pension. It's not just the pension we're talking about. That's just a part of it. They had to give up something in order to get that pension. And what the Illinois Constitution prohibits or says, the Supreme Court, that if all the parties sit down together, then they can work that out. They can work that out. And if they can't, then they've all agreed to binding arbitration, which is a good thing, which is a very good thing. But it seems to me a little bit ridiculous that we have to go back and re-argue something that they had promised to them, right, that they didn't get. It would be, I guess, fundamentally the same if we would go back and say, well, now that we're done, let's go back and renegotiate our salaries. No one would allow that, and I'm not going to allow this. A deal is a deal is a deal. That's the end of it. There should be no crawfishing on it. We should stick up to our part of the bargain and figure out a way to pay for it.
Our next question, we'll start with you, Mike. How do you plan to ensure our school systems are adequately funded?
Well, state of Illinois is good for bringing in experts from all across the country to help us with our education program, with the funding and the actual education part of it as well. I think we need to look at our local talent. If I want to know something about how we can do school funding, I think we need to bring in the people that actually have to utilize it to see what their ideas are. I think there's many, many things being floated out there about school funding and school reform. I think one of the things they talked about was that the school funding, I think Senator Henry Menard's bill, states that the funding should be like this. The funding money should go not to the zip code, but to where the students need it the most. I was up in near Chicago with Senator Menard, and the schools they have up there are totally different than ours down here. They have swimming pools, they have gymnasiums, huge ones. It's like a college campus. You know, they have iPads that they have at their school, and they have an iPad at home that's furnished by the school. We don't have that. It should be equalized. We need to help those that need it the most. So school funding is a hard issue, but it's one that we have to realize that we have to work with the students that need it the most, that have the wants and needs before we go any further. And if we want reform, if we want to know how we can raise taxes, that's a totally different subject. But there are ways that we can do it. There are ways that we can work together to get it done. We just have to sit down and do it. And I agree in a bipartisan way. I do.
Representative Bourne.
Thank you. School funding has been an issue that I've worked on from the first day in office. We have, not only does the state contribute the least of any state in the nation to our education system, we also have the most inequitably funded schools in the nation, which means that, just as you said, there are school districts that have great wealth, and then there are school districts that don't. And most of that is due to the fact that we are one of the last states in the nation that's so dependent on property taxes to fund our schools. And so you all have driven around Illinois. There are some places that are very property poor and some places that are very property rich. And so when we're dependent on property taxes in that locality to determine what these students will get, then there will be disparities. And so that's why I've been on two bipartisan commissions to help fix this. So we have a 20-year-old school funding formula. I was the only Republican in the House to co-sponsor Senator Andy Menard's education funding bill, because this should not be a partisan issue. Not only is Illinois, you know, we've talked about the struggles that we have, the success of Illinois is directly dependent on the success of every student in this state. And I want to be able to put a student from Litchfield, Hillsborough, you name it, up against a student from one of those suburban schools and have them test just as well and do just as well. But in order to do that, we're going to have to change the way we fund schools. We've already made a lot of progress on this commission. It's Democrats and Republicans from across the state, House and the Senate, who are getting together to say, how can we do this well? We have a deadline of February 1st. I think we're finding consensus. We're building what I think will be a better model, and I'm hopeful that come February 1st, we'll have a really workable bipartisan plan to make sure that students across this district and across the state have a chance at a really high quality education.
All right. I believe we have time for an extra question. All right. For one question? Okay. All right, and we'll start with Representative Bourne on this question. This is from the audience. Due to the unfortunate negative ad campaign that the race has taken, why should we vote for either of you? If you should be elected, what can or will you do to put an end to this form of campaigning?
That's why I think forums like this are really crucial. So we can have, you know, your mailboxes have all been full from both sides. I know, I've seen it. But we have to focus on where we can go in Illinois in 40 years. And so I think a previous group got asked, you know, what are your long-term goals? 10 years from now, if we can have an Illinois where people are working together, where we have a balanced budget, where we have schools that are well-funded, where we have a growing economy, I think that that's exactly where we need to get. And we need to vote for candidates who will get us there. I think that especially when we have these entrenched side parties on both sides in the Capitol right now, that's not helpful. And that's why I've worked in a bipartisan way. That's why we've tried to put out information that's positive. That's why we've tried to communicate our stances in our campaign. And I'm hopeful, too, that if you do have any questions, reach out to us, because that's the only way we move forward, is if we stay with the issues, if we answer the questions that are available, and if we can, you know, work together.
Mr. Mathis?
I want to make sure I got the right question here. What, you want to read that again?
Okay, let me read it again. Due to the unfortunate negative ad campaign that your race has taken, why should we vote for either of you? If you should be elected, what can or will you do to put an end to this form of campaigning?
Well, I think there's been some things said and done that are very offensive. Very offensive. I have two grandchildren that saw an ad down in St. Louis that was against me, and it had to do with someone that was convicted of child pornography, and somehow through a third party linking me to that. I had to explain to my 12-year-old grandson that was just an ad. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't right. He didn't understand that. There are certain things you can say and do in ads that are maybe a little bit off the grid, and there's things that go beyond it. And you have to take ownership of that. You have to. They say that kind of stuff sells. I don't think so. I think people read through that. I think they read through 10 or 15 mailers a week, you know. What they want is to talk to the individual. And that's what I've tried to do. I've walked this district 3 times. I'll continue walking it myself, not 10 people in a van, but me, to meet the people. I am who I am. When they meet me, they understand that. Sometimes when they see ads like that, they think they're real, and they're not. And it's been admitted to publicly that it's not. So I don't know how you control it. I think it's wrong, and I truly don't think it sells. I really don't.
Okay, we'll move on with our closing remarks, and each candidate will have 3 minutes. And Mr. Mathis, we will start with you, sir.
Well, one thing I want to say is that we didn't touch on tonight, and that we should have, is the heroin epidemic in our communities. We have to realize that that's going on, and we have to take action against it. I just want to say that there are programs out there. Senator Menard has introduced a bill that's one of the most comprehensive bills about drug abuse, specifically heroin, that's ever been done. It needs to be passed. It needs to be implemented. So I just want to mention that. Now I want to thank the chamber for allowing this to happen, Terry Tote, my opponent, but especially all of you out there that have waited so long for the end of it and went through all the questions. I want to talk about Litchfield. Litchfield has made great gains, great gains. People have worked very hard here in Litchfield to keep existing businesses open and to bring new ones in. It's about jobs. It's about a stable future. It's about what we can accomplish together. That's what Litchfield's done. And that's what I want to do for this district as your state representative. I've always been able to bring both sides together. As a mayor, I did that with the Mayor's Association. I've done it now, reaching out to Republican legislators who want to work together. We can make a difference. We can make a difference if we put politics aside. I will do that. And I won't stop and not vote 115 times. I'll take those votes, because that's what you send us up there to do. You want good government, and good government has to work hard, and that's what I'll do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Representative Bourne.
Thank you, Terry, and thank you all again for being here and for allowing us the opportunity to speak to you, and thank you for the questions. You know, we talk a lot about specific policies, but I think it's good to bring it back down to where we are. We are in a county that has some of the highest unemployment in the state. We're in a county where our schools are not receiving the adequate resources to give our students the best education possible. And we are in a state where government has let us down. They have not been good stewards of our money. They have not been good stewards of our trust. And we need to change that. You know, I was talking about the family that just moved into Montgomery County who wants to start a business. They already own one, looking at another one. They just moved their daughters to a new school. And this is what we're dealing with every day. One, it's been an absolute privilege to serve you over the last 2 years and to hear from you and help out families and businesses in Litchfield, in Montgomery County. But there's so much more work to do both at the local level, the county level, and at the state level. And that's exactly why I think that we have to keep moving in the right direction. And that's just why I decided to run, because we have a lot more work to do. We have to stand up to the rigged system that's been in Springfield forever that serves themselves. We need people who will stand up to that and will stand up for us. So thank you again for having me, and I would appreciate your vote on November 8th.